And that's not very far from where Pat Vickers-Rich did some of her paleontology. She's also on The Science Show next week talking about the rise of animals. But here she is today on the Science Centre at Monash, and also that T-Rex that wasn't a T-Rex found in Australia.
The Australian Tyrannosauroid, not a T-Rex, is based on a pelvic pubis that we have found down at Dinosaur Cove long, long ago. And it's hit the press. It's within that group. It's not a T-Rex, but it's a relative of T-Rex in a big group called the Tyrannosauroids.
It's about a third the size or quarter the size, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah, indeed. It's a smallish one, but it's typical of the Tyrannosauroids of that time that were known only from the Northern Hemisphere.
Was it surprising that such a find, 20 years old, should suddenly be identified?
Not at all. I mean, it takes a while for the right person to take a look at it who has the expertise to be able to recognize it. We realized it was some sort of a carnivorous dinosaur, but getting all the details of, the expansion of this and whatever, the right person has to see it, Robin. It really is an expert. I mean, we said that it was a carnivorous dinosaur, but in order to get it down to a particular group, you have to have somebody who knows what they're talking about.
And Tom Rich knows what he's talking about.
Well, no, Tom doesn't. I don't either. But basically, Roger Benson at the University of Cambridge and Paul Barrett at the British Museum, when Tom took it there, and Tom and I had at least the smarts to recognize a carnivorous dinosaur. That's as far as my expertise would go. But when Roger in particular, when he saw it, because it's what he's working on, he was able to identify it. But he was careful. We didn't give it a name. We didn't give it a genus and species name. We put it into the category that it's in, and we'll wait until we find more material, if we ever do, to give it a proper name, because you need a little bit more if you're going to set up a taxon.
Of course, there are some colleagues of yours in the American Museum of Natural History in New York who are quite disparaging about our collection of dinosaurs. So we've got bugger all in Australia, which is most unkind. Does this give us another bit of an edge in the dinosaur stakes?
I think they're quite right in that, you know, the whole southern hemisphere, South America is getting better, but Australia has a very poor record. I mean, some of the discoveries that Scott Hocknull, for instance, and his group up in Queensland have made, those are spectacular, and they really encourage people to keep looking, because we have, I would say, other than Antarctica, we probably have the poorest record of dinosaurs anywhere on the planet. And Australia, unfortunately, doesn't have any large high mountains that are in really, really arid areas, so our hunting area is fairly restricted. And in addition to that, Robin, we've had, because we've been in a very wet area in the past, there's a great deal of leaching that has occurred, and a lot of the bones have just been destroyed because of the deep weathering that Australia...
So they were here, but now they've crumbled.
Well, we don't know if they were here, but they could have been, and now they're gone. They're dissolved. Yeah.
And your centre, it's been up for how many years, the one at Monash, the Science Centre?
Since 1993, and we finally managed to raise enough funds to get the building in 2002, and so there we are.
Describe it for those who haven't been there.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's a good description.
It's based, we looked for a while at what other science centre in the world that we wanted to make our sister or brother institution, and it was the Lawrence Hall of Science at Berkeley, which I knew because I went through Berkeley. But the main point is to get scientists who are doing the research directly in contact with kids, with the general public, and with teachers. And that's exactly what our aim is. So we do a lot of things, but the real underlying premise of that center is to get the scientists telling kids stories, helping in curriculum development, helping in exhibition preparation and touring and so forth, and we do that.
So it's a face-to-face thing. It's not simply materials which are there, which the kids can look at, and the hands-on stuff. The scientists are around as well.
Scientists are around, and they're not just around the center, but they go out to the schools, they go out in the field with the kids come into the center, and then we also are out there with exhibitions. We travel exhibitions, and we've been in Taiwan, Buenos Aires. We're now getting ready to go to the Middle East. We've got an exhibition opening in Singapore. So it's getting scientific research into many, many places in the world. And it's very primary school and early secondary oriented, or general public. So
what's the secret then of a scientist who's used to working in the field talking to a young person like that?
Straightforward and easy. The kids are curious. They want to know about it, so you just tell them what you're doing, and you don't use a lot of technical terms. I mean, most people have raised kids or had kids in their life. I mean, people know how to talk to kids.
Do you think so? I wonder. Do the children bring in their own specimens to be identified and discovered as well?
Sometimes, and kids ask questions. It's sometimes one of the questions that was asked just recently, and one of my colleagues told me that 6-year-olds went to a lecture and someone was talking on stars, and the kid raised his hand at the end of the lecture and says, "Can magnetism make stars collapse?" as a six-year-old. So don't underestimate kids.
I wonder what the answer was to that.
I wasn't there. However, the lecturer said, "Now that's a very interesting question."
I'll be back with you in 10 minutes.
I think he described it anyway.
So back to you in a minute, my girl. That was Pat Vickers-Rich from Monash, who's on the Science Show next week, to describe something far more straightforward, where the animals came from.